Let's quickly jump into the round 12 results from last weekend in the VFL. We'll quickly fly through these as quick as possible, because if you haven't caught up with round 12 by now, you've been under a rock, because we are up to round 13. We'll focus on that in the final few minutes of this morning's program. In our broadcast game, as we mentioned, Port Melbourne just too strong. We saw it in the kick six, but it wasn't good enough. Port Melbourne at 19 goals, 8, 122. Defeated the Zebras, 11 goals, 7, 73. I think three out of Sorton's goals. I think he only kicked goals in two quarters of the game.
Soft?
No, I think he only kicked goals in two quarters of the game, first quarter and the last quarter. But he actually did a Chris Dawes.
He did?
Yep, junk time specialist.
He did. He
kicking
got a
goals when there's no pressure in the game.
A couple of soft goals.
Yeah, Chris Dawes would have been
good luck
very,
to him.
Chris
good
Dawes would have been very happy with Nick Sorton's performance.
But good luck to him. A lot of century goal kickers get a lot of soft goals over the series of the full season.
Geelong, well, that was a bit of a turn up, wasn't it? A bit of an upset. 2 points was the margin at quarter time, and then 7-1 in the second quarter really did set up the Cats playing in that curtain raiser down there at Skilled Stadium. Geelong, 18-10, 100.
Wasn't the curtain raiser.
I know, it was actually the Saturday afternoon game, wasn't it? Sorry, my bad.
A rare 2 o'clock start at Skilled Stadium.
Well, maybe they need to introduce it, because obviously the players play better at the more conventional times. 18 goals, 10, 118. Defeated the Box Hill Hawks, 9, 11, 65. Podsy Adley kicked 6 goals in his battle to second place in the goal-kicking total tally against Matthew Little. Frankston versus Collingwood. Well, this was a disappointing result for the Dolphins. They were competitive up to half-time as well, not out of the race, but 6 goals to 2 in the third quarter set up the victory for the Pies. And Chris Dawes kicked 3 goals, probably 3 goals in the last quarter. Geelong, 20 goals, 16, 136, defeated Frankston, 10-10, 70. You mentioned this disappointing result. A good result for anybody tuning in to Casey Scorpion supporters. They are really continuing the march this year. Some people had them written off and to be languishing towards the bottom of the ladder. After their strong performance last weekend against the Bendigo side, they've jumped to fourth on percentage. So this season is really open for grabs, because both Sandringham and Geelong, and even Werribee, if they can notch a victory this afternoon, will really be fighting each other for those final few positions. And your end-of-year predictions could be under some serious threat, Jim Hines.
No, they're okay.
So
still okay.
Casey Scorpions, 21 goals, 17, 143. Well, that's a mauling. Defeated the Bendigo Bombers, 5-2, 32. Newton, 4. Wait in the seniors kick 3. That's good to see. And if you're a Bendigo Bombers supporter, all single goal kickers there. And Bucca Hooley and Michael Hurley were the better players there, as you'd imagine. The Werribee Derby. Cross-team rivals now, aren't they, the Werribee Tigers and Williamstown?
Looks like Werribee. Williamstown did sensational, 24.
Yeah, 24 goals. Yeah,
it doesn't say.
Well, you can probably work out the difference there if you want to use your mathematician there, Jim, because there were 9 points at three-quarter time. So 24 goals, something, 155. If you know the answer, give us a call and you'll win a prize. Werribee Tigers, 14-12, 96. Thompson kicked 8. That's good there. Good news there for Werribee.
24-11.
24-11, thank you, Jim. And Williamstown, Little kicked 4 goals there once again. They're currently be sitting on 3rd on the goal-kicking tally. Yeah, so Williamstown, 24 goals, 11, 155. Defeated Werribee, 14, 12, 96. Thompson kicked 8. Little kicked 4. Let's have a look for him. Where is he in the best? Oh, Barlow snuck into the bottom list there for Werribee. So good to see some contributors helping him out.
Cut and paste from last week, the week before.
Yeah, I think there's something going on there. He should have been Nathan Thompson, then Barlow. But anyway, he snuck his name onto the best. And Wade Skipper.
Is that 8 goals to Nathan Thompson?
Yeah, Tomo kicked 8.
Jeez, it's
a lazy 8.
A lazy 8. And he's kicked 8 out of 14.
Well, you know, apart from his heart problems, he's kicked actually 25 goals for the season as Nathan Thompson. Yep. And I reckon he's probably on a run of about 22 goals in the last 3 or 4 weeks. He's been in very good form there. And he's actually someone who's contributing to the VFL. We need more people like Nathan Thompson who have a media presence that are prepared to go and play in the competition. He might get ridiculed by some people going around again, but his ads and his promotion of the competition's been fantastic. And from a marketing point of view, you need people like Nathan Thompson to spend the last 2 or 3 seasons playing in the VFL, because it also helps their developing list at Werribee and also for the Kangaroos, but it helps the competition, because you can't rely on people like Sortner and Podsy Adley, who forwards generate exposure for the competition. Yeah. Sautner and Podsy Adley are VFL bred. Nathan Thompson adds that little bit of extra flair coming with AFL experience. That's the only difference.
Is that a path the VFL could expose a marquee player?
Well, it's not so much. Like the A-League sort of situation where a player
outside
can be,
the salary cap can come and go as they please. You know, it doesn't have to be the same player every week and be a ring-in player. Fred did it for Wellington. Maybe the VFL can bring in a marquee player.
Well, they do that in suburban football leagues. I know, like, Cooter, when he was playing out in the northern suburbs, he was on a game-by-game basis of $1,000. So, it could be an option. But I think... it's something that I think AFL clubs really need to try and work on and generate some players going back into the VFL competition because...
I'd like to see it.
Not the first time we've seen players go back. I think Timmy McGrath was a big example of someone playing at VFL level for the extra year, actually won a VFL premiership in that year. So no wonder he hung around there. So congratulations to Tomo. He's doing great things for Werribee and the VFL. The final game in round 12, well, Craig McRae finally notched a victory. And it was starting to come quite concerning for the Coburg Tigers.
This was the big upset of the round.
Do you reckon?
I personally think
there are some genuine question marks over the Northern Bull Ants at the moment.
At the moment, they're plummeting downhill. They recruited the entire Carlton football team the other week.
Nick Stevens. I mean, we've seen many players look different in a VFL uniform.
We have.
But they were calling him barge ass, basically, weren't they? He's put on some, looks like he's put on some extra kilos, but I've always thought he was a stocky sort of build. I don't think it's anything different there. And of course, the blood red of the Northern Bull Ants would definitely do wonders for anybody.
Yeah, that makes them look bigger.
So,
Personally, I think, the form of Coburg in the last 3 or 4 weeks has been poor at best, and they've turned it around, which is great.
I guess... Jim, don't jump on the AFL media ban yet. They haven't turned it around yet. They've had a victory and a good
Coburg.
Way. Yeah.
A victory is a good way of turning things around.
If you were writing articles on the VFL every second week, this one would be Coburg are back.
Yeah.
If I read one more article in the AFL that someone's
Coburg
back.
Coburg back in the doldrums. Coburg back in the winning circle. Coburg here and there and everywhere. But
gee whiz. But, Coburg, 17-14, 116, 36-point victors over the Bull Ants, 11 goals, 14-80. What I was going to say about those two teams, Jim, I think you're seeing form dictated to by the selection tables. If you went through both the Northern Bull Ants and Coburg sides leading into their purple patch of form just before the mid-season break, both of those clubs would have had very minimal changes. Since that time, we've seen the axe swung at both clubs, and it definitely does rejig it. You go through Northern Bull Ants' best players there, and Scotland's one of them, and Stevens is towards the end. But, it's Jared Bannister and Allard and Brown who have played predominantly of the season at VFL level, doing good things there for the Bull Ants. But Coburg, desperate win. It's an 8-point win there for Coburg because it puts them back into the mix. And the Northern Bull Ants, who are sitting in the top four, have now slipped down to eighth. So let's go through the ladder. It's... getting more vital and more close every week. Williamstown, after the North Ballarat took their second bye for the season, have actually reclaimed top position on percentage. This is just how close the season's getting, Jimbo. Williamstown played 11, won 9, lost 2. Healthy percentage of 144%, and they're sitting on 36 points. With North Ballarat down by 10%, they're on 36, looking to bounce back after a bye last weekend. Port Melbourne, well, they're the only team on 7 wins so far, and they're perched in third position. A good thing for Port Melbourne, they don't have any more byes, so every win is vital for them to put pressure on the top two teams.
Yeah, and this is where it gets a bit of a logjam.
It does, doesn't it? And every game from now on in, the next 8 rounds, considering all the teams battling for these next few positions need to have a bye. Coburg's bye is round 20, so Coburg would need to pick up an extra win on the run home. It's Casey, Collingwood, Coburg, Box Hill, and the Northern Bull Ants from 4th to 8th, separated by a total of 19%. That's just how close it is. And then we've got Sandringham and Geelong in 9th and 10th. They've had 5 wins for the season, but the Zebras have got a healthy percentage of 121%. So if they can win and one of those teams above them lose... Sandringham go from ninth and to into their position, basically.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Then you've got Geelong, who and up until this week have really turned their season around. They're on 5 wins, but their percentage is pretty low at only 92.18%. So they're a game and
they've got a percentage booster coming up if they they can overcome the 6 changes that they'll be made to do.
Where are the Tigers? Well, they'll need to basically win every game from here on in to find themselves in the finals contentions. And then, yeah, then it's Frankston and the Bendigo Bombers. The goal kickers. We love the Frosty Miller. We love the full forwards. They bring people through the gates. And leading up to round 12, Sortner with 6 last week on 55. The Pods, the J-Pod, in his VFL life membership year, he's on 47 goals. Matthew Little, who's featured in this week's record, has 44 goals for the season. Patrick Rose continues to do good things as a small crumbing forward for the Seagulls. He's kicked 29. Then there's 3 players on 25. Thompson, Jay Schultz, and Chris Bryan. So 3 big men there, putting some pressure on the leading goal kickers. But you'd imagine, Jim, that it would only be Sortner and the J-Pod who could battle for the final 2 positions there.
Are we in danger? We're not. But Nick Sortner kicking more goals than the Bendigo Bombers? Well, we're not, because I think he needs to double his output and Bendigo Bombers stop.
And in the VFL reserves, in case you are following the progress of some of the teams in this competition, Williamstown still undefeated with 11 wins. The Box Hill Hawks have had 8. Then Frankston, Casey and Coburg all on 7 wins. Sandringham sitting in the top 6 with 5, and the North Ballarat outside of that on percentage. So that's pretty even. It gets a little bit of a caning sometimes when people refer to the VFL competition. Can I say it's actually improved? The competition levels in the VFL reserve is definitely picked up there and should make for some interesting finals. The Box Hill Hawks and Frankston fought out a great battle last weekend, only separated by a point. Those two teams are in second and third. So, yeah, it'll be good to see where these teams finish up. Where it be the Northern Bull Ants and the Bendigo Bombers, well, they've had 3 buys for the season. You wonder if just how low their percentage can go. We'll follow that with interest. The VFL reserve side for the Bendigo Bombers has a percentage of 31.9. I reckon if you calculated what 55 goals times 6 is, Jim, Nick Sortner's still there for total amount of goals, and that's not including Sortner's behinds for the season. So
that's right. We're going to have to do very quickly the preview.
Why?
Of today's round. We've only got 7 minutes.
Look, Bryce, you can hold the boys off just for a couple of extra minutes if we go a little bit later, because we did start a little bit late.
That's right, and he interfered with our program by making so much noise.
And if he says anything, he's 12, so
yeah, exactly.
What's he going to do?
He's not
going to come in here and remove us from the station.
That's right. It'll be 11 talking. If he's not careful.
Yeah.
We'll take a year away from him.
What can Bryce actually do to us? I don't walk in fear when I see Bryce.
Well, as long as he doesn't tell his dad.
Well, if his dad gets involved or his Uncle Simon, then we might be in some trouble. But while he's sitting in Studio 2,
I've seen his uncle play football and he won't be any problems
to
us.
Nah, he wore a very large pair of shorts.
He played for Richmond and Melbourne, so we've seen... I saw him play, I don't know about yourself.
Yeah, I did, yeah, number 25, yeah, the Simon Oshold badge.
I think he wore about 118 at Richmond.
But he had the biggest pair of shorts. You reckon Daniel Harford wore big shorts? Well, so did Simon Eichold. We didn't mention this last week because we didn't know about it, but this was fantastic. And you don't see this sort of thing happen too often. I'm going to mention Andrew Clifton, Jim, if you're wondering what I'm actually doing here. Andrew Clifton brought up his 175th game of goal umpiring, which earned him VFL Life membership.
Yep. We did actually mention it because he ran through the
banner. Oh, we mentioned it during the broadcast, not during last week's show.
No, that's right. Yep.
And I thought it was just absolutely fantastic to see his family get down there with
a banner.
With a banner, and really,
Potts didn't even get a banner.
No, I just think it really takes. It really showed the personal side of football, and sometimes the umpires get ignored. And that's worse,
they get ridiculed for doing a job.
And, I just think it's a fantastic achievement to Andrew and his family. It was great that he got acknowledged. And the ABC were there and everybody. So it was fantastic. And, initially started as a field umpire for the Moorabbin Saints in the Junior Football League back in 1993. Probably knows Craig Davenport from the radio station. And
we all try to avoid that. But
it's not something you really wear on a badge, is it? I know Craig Davenport. But... Yeah, look, he goal umpired in the 2006 grand final, and yeah, congratulations to Andrew Clifton. Big effort there. Another person joining the VFL Life memberships. Season 2009 could be one of the last years of seeing so many people get through to that VFL Life membership. Obviously, the umpires don't face the same challenges as footballers, but it takes a big effort to really make sure you officiate in so many games. Maybe Bryce could be the next future VFL Life membership as a goal umpire. I'm sure you'll do that very well.
I reckon we should get Life memberships. I reckon I've done 175 one of these programs.
Now, as I was printing off the record earlier this morning, Jim, articles, and this isn't knocking Adrian Dunn. We know how much of a great effort he does and contributes to the running of the VFL competition. But I might even get you to go through your little record printout I've given you there. They've got a feature on the VFL Tribunal.
Okay.
And we know that has brought great enjoyment to this show ever since I started with Neil Brown.
Have they got two columns, what they got and what they deserved?
Well, no, they don't have what they deserve, but I don't even know if I've got you a proper copy of it. But
That's the page.
Yeah, the pages that I've missed, yeah. And Neil Brown, and I started this show with Neil, about 5 years ago now, I think.
Something like that.
Yeah, I haven't had a sleep in on a Saturday morning for a while during footy season. But Neil Brown and Mick Hawking, I don't know if you're still bothered tuning into the program anymore, but if you are, this article goes out to you guys because I remember just the enjoyment that these guys used to have going through the weekly VFL reports and seeing players get 1 week for quite severe indiscretions.
And murdering their opposition player.
Now, what they're saying here basically is, and you can read it yourself, $3 the VFL record at the gate when you walk in. Make sure you grab yourself a copy. Mitch Robertson's the only player so far in season 2008 to be suspended by more than 1 week, and that was for that incident with Rowan Bale behind the field.
And we saw that, and very lucky.
Now, they've got they've got all different sort of things here. VFL yearly reports, 87 to 2009, and back in 1987, when football was football, played by men, there was 189 reports for total for the year with VFL seniors and reserves, 311. Average reports per around 14.8. So there was obviously a bit of biff and a bit of bop going on the footy field. Then, we'll go back into modern times there. 97, got down to 42. In season 2009, I think this is AFL Victoria cleaning up the game. In season 2009, 16 seniors have been reported, 6 reserves for 22 reports, 13 clubs, all clubs have had someone reported for an average of 2 reports a week. So what? How many reports go missing per a week? There's more than 2. How many incidents with AFL players have there been just brushed over or not taken considerable time to actually find a fair result? I mean, incidents happen in the VFL every week that get missed, and that's due to the lack of coverage provided by AFL Victoria. One camera at a game will not pick up incidents off the field. I've seen more incidents off the field in 2009 than we've seen before, with players being king hit and cleaned up and malaise. You can give us the VFL Tribunal all you want and all the results and saying there's only been 2 a week. Have we seen a malay like we saw between Casey and Coburg,
yeah,
that featured on the front news article on 6 o'clock news? No, we haven't. So the game isn't cleaner by any fixture of the imagination. We don't have the thugs playing in the competition anymore, and we've got talented footballers who go pretty hard at it, but there are still incidents that happen. And if there was actual proper video footage of what happened between Mitch Robertson and Rowan Bale, that incident wouldn't have been 2 weeks. It would have been more. We didn't see it.
6.
But it would have been more than 2.
Paul Wheatley definitely saw it, and he was still remonstrating 5 minutes later with Mitch Robinson. He certainly saw what we saw.
I have no dispute that players play the game fair and they keep their eyes over the football, but there are incidents between the contests of men that do go across those lines. And I'm sorry, AFL Victoria, you can filter out an article like that all you want to say the competition's more fair than what it's been in previous years. To me, that's a crock. And I still think it's a very tough game of football. There are incidents, so don't give us an article to say they're not. And Yeah, I think AFL Victoria get away with the fact that they don't have enough video footage covering a lot of those incidents off the field.
I remember going to Casey Fields a couple of years ago. It was either last year or the year before when there was a, I won't say an all-in, but it was basically all-in because there was more spectators involved than actually the players, but the players were involved with spectators sometimes. And I saw some punches thrown by spectators that definitely landed.
So they
weren't rubbed out. But these are isolated incidents, but the article doesn't really paint the true picture that, you know, that you see week in, week out. These are isolated incidents, but, you know, you can't sweep things like that under the carpet. The Casey Cobo game was a prime example of how there can be a lot of pushing and shoving and nothing happens. And what was it, $800 fine?
$800, yeah. So,
and it was on ABC TV?
I watched the Channel 7 News and it was on there. I didn't even get the result of the game.
Justin Berry got reported for
headbutting.
Headbutting?
Yeah.
And what do you get for that? A week, I think.
But, I mean, Mitch Robinson is saying, oh, he got 2 weeks. It took him 2 weeks to actually give us a result after the incident. So, well, that's not football to me. I'm going to move away from that article because I'll probably get in trouble.
We've gone overtime.
Oh, have we?
Yes.
Oh, quickly, let's go through, let's quickly fly through.
Casey Frankston. Casey should win comfortably again. They're playing the two bottom teams in the last 2 weeks. And,
well, they played in round 9 against Frankston at Frankston Park. Sorry to cut you off there, Jimbo. The Scorpions, 14-12-96, too strong for Frankston. Can't see that changing again.
Yep, they should win. They've won the last 4 since 2007, so Casey have, so they should march on. They make it 5 in a row. North Ballarat versus Box Hill.
At Box Hill City Oval. The last time they played was round 1 in season 2008, up there at Eureka. North Ballarat, 19-12-126, defeated the Box Hill Hawks, 8-8-56. Things have changed, but Box Hill's form has really tapered off. They have lost the last 2 games. Currently sitting in that logjam with 6 wins. So Box Hill will be pretty desperate for a victory. Very strong at home. But will North Ballarat continue their surge after having the weekend off?
Yeah, North Ballarat comfortably over Box Hill. Werribee versus Port Melbourne.
Werribee sitting 4-7. The Borough 7-3. Last time they played was in the first qualifying final, 2008, at TAC Oval. Port Melbourne, 20 goals, 10-130. Defeated the inaccurate Tigers, 6-12-56. 6 goals, 20-56, I should say there, Jimbo. It is a broadcast game. Make sure you tune in from 1 o'clock. Jim, your tip. I know people only listen to your tips. Mine are going bad in 2009.
Yeah, Port Melbourne should win comfortably. I've lost a few games here. My last game here is round 1, 2007, so I'll have to investigate what happened to those games.
Williamstown, these are the Sunday games of VFL round 13 action. Make sure you get out there. Pay your $10, kids. Get there for it's free. Williamstown 9-2, sitting on top of the ladder. Coburg 6-5. Last time they played, round 15, 2008, at Burbank Oval. Coburg 16-14-110, defeated the Seagulls 13-14-92. That's an interesting result there. You can tune into that mob. livevfl.com.au.
Or listen to us.
Yeah, make sure you listen to us, but if you want a score update from Williamstown Coburg.
Williamstown should win.
Bendigo Bombers 0-10, Coburg 5-6. Geelong 5-6. The Bendigo Bombers, Charles Slattery has returned to South Australia, and Darren Hume hasn't been playing too much time in the VFL seniors. Geelong, we've mentioned how many changes they'll be facing this weekend. It gives a chance to some of their less notable players. Geelong, Bendigo, last time they played, round 10, 2008. Bendigo actually won this game, 16 goals, 21-117. Defeated Geelong 10-9-69.
48-point win there. They won't beat Geelong, but if they do beat Geelong, this will be the only chance they've got of winning the season.
Well, because that's kind of a sitting on the fence sort of.
No, Geelong have made some wholesale changes due to the fact that 6 players have been rested from the senior team. So if Bendigo do want to win a game, it's got to be now.
Well, Bendigo have actually 16-game losing streak.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's going to be turned around. Yep. I hope they win a game before the end of the season. You wouldn't want to have a losing rate of 25 games and then closed doors.
That's right. Sandy versus Collingwood.
That's our broadcast game.
It is. Sandy won the last time the only time they played since the realignment, or since the Collingwood have gone standalone. They won 79-49, and personally, I think Collingwood should win, but it's one of those games where both teams must win.
I think Sandringham will bounce back to form. Northern Bull Ants have the bye. Apologies for the late start, and we'll do our best to get some guests on. We might interview John Hook and have a bit of a chat to him from AFL Victoria next week about the Bendigo Bombers, and maybe even the VFL Tribunal. Is the competition as fair and as clean as they like to make out? Well, that's all for the Round 13 edition of the Saturday Morning VFL Football Show. We've ticked 5 minutes over time. Apologies to Bryce, and I saw Alex back in the studio there once again. So we've been across to the boys for the Dandong Junior Footy League Show. KC Radio, 97.7 FM. Tune in from 1 o'clock both today and tomorrow for our coverage of the two big games in the VFL on your true home of the VFL, KC Radio, 97.7 FM.